when we were talking last, you were talking about what got everything started. We talked about Senator Borelli, and if it wasn't for him, maybe we wouldn't be where we are today. So go ahead and talk a little bit about that. I think,
you know, and Senator Fitchum as well, you know, he was really fighting. He had a lot of issues after January 6th, you know, trying to be put into that category of storming the Capitol, which is complete crap. It's not true. Senator Fitchum did absolutely nothing wrong. But I really feel that Senator Borelli, of all the senators, there was a few others that were fighting, but you know, he was the one that pushed Senator Fan to do the right thing. I think he emboldened her and gave her, you know, the courage to stand up to the to the mob and do the right thing. And I feel that I hope that we encouraged her as well to do the right thing, and she stepped up, you know. And I've had many conversations with her over the last few months and in the last few weeks, and she's dead set on getting this thing done. She's very upset with some of the you know, the involved from the Board of Supervisors that aren't doing the right thing, and that consider themselves Republican. You know, all we ever wanted from the beginning, like I said, was a forensic audit. We wanted transparency and a forensic audit. That's it. And if the election is as good as Steve Gallardo tells us it is, and as perfect as it is, then it shouldn't be an issue. What is he so afraid of? What is the liberal media, the fake news, the Democrats, and Gallardo, or Gallardo, whatever his name is, in particular, afraid of? What are you so afraid of? You know, it's like
the truth.
It's, well, you know, listen, they know exactly what we're going to find. They know exactly what's been going on. The deals that have been struck over the last few decades, you know, along the way up to this point, they know what's been going on. They know that, I feel, when it's proven that there was major fraud, that this is going to go down ballot as well.
And oh, when it goes for sure down ballot.
You know, yeah, when it goes down ballot, we're probably going to pick up some extra seats in the House and the Senate.
That's what I told my rep. We were on the phone yesterday. I was picking my kid up, and, you know, I was like, I was telling him, I said, our session's going to end soon. And I'm honestly really nervous because we have a border with a lot of criminals coming in. We're going to be left in Governor Ducey's hands. And you, as the Arizona legislature, are our protection. I said, you guys have to do something to protect Arizona. And I said, and then something about being like the minority or whatever, not minority, but the simple majority. I said, that's going to change after this election. You guys are going to pick up more seats. We're already redistricting. That's going to change. And you guys are going to have the supermajority, because we have been lied to that we're turning blue when we're not blue at all. We're totally red. But these elections, I think, this is just my thinking, this election fraud's been going on for quite some time, but because Donald Trump was so popular, it gave us all the information like we need. Like, wait a minute, there's no way he lost. No way.
Well, you brought up a good point, the redistricting. The 2010 census, when they did the redistricting then, really, the Democrats were all over. The Democrat, hey, listen, they might be evil, but they're smart.
Yes.
Okay. And conservatives are very smart too, but they're very complacent. They're very, you know, that's what needs to change. So this time around, the Republicans figured it out. Finally, after a decade, figured it out, and we're going to start fighting. So now they're heavily involved in what's going on with the redistricting. Now, from what I've heard from a pretty good source, is that when a redistricting occurs this time, it's not going to be so advantageous for the Democrats. And not that we're cheating or not that we're doing anything wrong. We're just doing these districts will be carved out properly. And when that happens, you're going to have this big advantage. So when I ran a District 7 against Ruben Gallego, he had this huge advantage of Democrats in that district. And it's odd that he wins every time by the same percentages, no matter what. You know, it's a little weird. We had this increased voter turnout, allegedly, right, that we had in this election, and he still wins by the same percentages. Now, I spent the last year and a half knocking doors in that district, knocking on Democrat doors, talking to everybody. And, you know, I got different feedback than what the Dominion machines told us. So, you know, we'll see. I'm not saying, oh, I won that district or anything like that. I knew going into that district, it was going to take two or three elections to break into that district, because the people in that district have been lied to for so long that it was going to take two or three elections to break in. But we had to get our foot in the door there. And I thought we did a great job of getting our message out to as many people as we could afford to. And also in Legislative District 27 of Tatiana down there, and Latinos for Trump, getting the conservative message out to those people and letting them know, hey, there is another side to this story. Mm-hmm. What you've been told on Telemundo and Univision and CNN and MSNBC and AZ Fake News Central and all these people, there's another message. And I think we made good headway in the district that I want the people that are running that district to continue building on. You know, I just felt, for me, for this election, when I saw a Republican vote for the Arizona slate with the Democrats without having a forensic audit, that was the final straw for me with CD6 and why I chose to run at CD6. When I saw that, it showed me establishment, like just imprinted on his forehead. And I was not happy at all. And, you know, we're going to know soon. Like you said, we're going to know very soon what's going to happen with this forensic audit. We're going to get the results. The forensic team's probably going to know in the first 72 hours on these machines. They're going to know if there was blatant rampant fraud, and we're going to know very quickly. Mm-hmm. Now, there's only about a 10,000 vote difference in Arizona. Now, remember, we're just talking about Maricopa.
Remember one thing, Josh, on election night or during election week, it took a whole week for them to count 1%.
It took them 1 week to adjust their algorithm to make sure that Trump loses.
Exactly. I remember watching Fox 10, and I interned with Fox 10. Okay, I interned twice with them during my college years, and I remember looking at John Hook, and I used to work nights with him, and he was trying to be very professional. But at 8 o'clock, when our polling's closed legally by 8, but we all know there was voters still waiting that were there before the doors closed, so they're still allowed to cast their votes. He said, Our news department just said Arizona went to Biden. And he was like, had this dumbfounded look, like, how the heck did they call that already? I don't know, but I have to be professional and I'm on TV live. And so my news desk said this, like, I could see this all in his face. And that was my first clue. Like, that's weird. Something weird happening.
Yeah. I don't want to put words in Carrie Lake's mouth. Like you said, but there's a reason why she left that industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that is probably, you know, a lot to do with why she's no longer wanting to be in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
At least with that particular media outlet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to get her on like OAN or Newsmax or something. Mm-hmm. But or get her in the office. That's what we need her.
I would love that. You know? Yeah, she's great.
But, you know, she would do very well. But, there is a lot of that, you know, but we're going to know. All we wanted to know was the truth.
Right.
And one way or another, we're going to know. We're going to find out. The team that has been assembled by Karen Fan is, I feel very confident in getting the truth with these people. They're going to be using technology that Javon Pulitzer has the patents on. It's going to be his technology that's being used. There'll be other consultants involved that I feel very confident in with these people behind the scenes. So I know if there's fraud, if there was fraud, it'll be found. I'm very confident in that. And they know what happened. They know why. They're scared because they certified a fraudulent election. And that's treasonous.
All the way up to the top, Josh, all the way up to the top. And so I started feeling like really upset and sad about our Arizona and the people that I had elected into office. And I went through a heartbreak for a while. Cause like I said, I started contacting our reps in July, and that's including the County Board of Supervisors in July. And it wasn't it didn't start out because of elections. Obviously, it was in July. It started out with because I felt like I had a best friend and she was dying of breast cancer in the hospital. And she was like on lockdown and no one could go see her. She was terminal. I couldn't go see her. Her husband was distraught. He couldn't go see her. Her kids are 7 and 3. They couldn't go see their mother. And I said, I'm going to make a way for that family to be able to be together and I could say goodbye to my friend. And that's when I started reaching out to the county board of supervisors and my legislature. I'm like, something has to change with this COVID because we can't just have a one size fits all with society. There's people that were dying in the hospital and they were dying alone. And that was just inhumane and wrong. And that started me on the path. And then as I'm getting involved, I'm finding out more and more about as the election went on and we're finding out about, you know, because I stay in contact with, you know, the people that actually talk to me, I stay in contact with them. And I couldn't believe that we were being stopped at every corner. And it was so frustrating. I'm like, how deep does this go? I mean, it went down to the very local levels. I couldn't believe how deep this thing went. I could not believe that we would be stopped at every corner down to the local government. And this thing was strategic and very planned. And I was just like, I had this heartbreaking moment. Like, I'm like, wow, this is my country that I didn't realize was so corrupt. I had no idea at the level of corruption. And it really, truly broke my heart. I kind of was depressed for at least a week or so because yeah. I couldn't believe this country that I thought was so, not that it's not wonderful, but I had thought differently about this country.
Yeah. And well, then President Trump, you know, always told us how deep the swamp was, that he didn't even know how deep it was. And it's not necessarily the elected officials, although it is, but it's the bureaucracy around them. Mm-hmm. And like you said, at the local level as well, you know, you have even today, the corrupt board of supervisors had an emergency session this morning at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting to hear what's going on with that.
There's a lot of speculation, but I don't know if that speculation is correct.
I got my phone. I'm using it for the Zoom, so I can't check it. But I'm waiting on a few messages from people to let me know exactly what's going on. But, you know, what it comes down to, if they're going to keep playing games, and David and I have made this person very aware that in the Mason's Manual, they can issue a warrant. The chairman of the Judiciary Committee can issue a warrant, can arrest these people, and snatch up these machines to be used for whatever they want, because they have plenary authority over what's going on to begin with. They are a subdivision of a political subdivision of the Senate. So that's like me hiring somebody to run my gym.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the owner.
Right.
And I'm the Senate. And I'm going to hire the Board of Supervisors to run my gym. And they're telling me what to do. Not going to happen. You know, that's like your son, my 6-year-old son, telling me what to do as a dad. Not going to happen. So, you know, they have things they can do. And I understand that, you know, it's like Senator Fan has known these people for 20 years. She considers them friends. You know what I mean? And I understand that. I get it. And she gets it. But business is business. And doing the right thing and doing the constitutional thing is separate from your friendship.
That has to be really hard. And I don't think that most of the people understand that this is more than just a law thing. They have all been working together for some time. I do understand. I think that's why Paul Boyer, turned it back on when he said he was going to arrest him. I think that's why he changed his mind. Now, it was wrong because his people in his district told him, I want you to vote to have these people arrested. And that's why he was censured right after his vote. And that's why he's, you know, being recalled right now, because he did not listen to his people who wanted him to do the right thing. That does have to be really difficult. If I have a friend who's doing wrong, that has to be really hard to face that. But at the same time, you have to continue to do what's right. And those people are not doing what's right. Well, and I'm sure it was scary too, to go up and do this big old project. I bet the fear was high.
Still, well, probably remember, is. There's a lot of other stuff that happens behind the scenes. You know what I mean? He told Senator Fan that morning that he was voting yes that morning. What David and I call that is a Jesuit move. We call that the Jesuit move, the last second stab in the back. And you see this happening all the time. You remember when Mike Pence got that coin handed to him?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that happened? What was that?
I have no idea.
Okay. Now, do you remember Senator Boyer, after he pulled what we call the Jesuit move, and then he tweeted out a Jesuit reference on Twitter. And
he
David
did?
Caught it. I didn't catch it because I don't know that whole scene as well as David does, but David caught it and showed me. And when he showed me, I said something to Boyer about it on Twitter, and he didn't say anything back to me, just ignored it.
He was talking at first.
Well, yeah, he was running his mouth.
He was talking like Steve Richard at first, and then you dropped that Jesuit thing on him. He's like,
you know what I told him, and I told all of the Senate, maybe it was out of my anger, but I still stand behind it. I said, pull him out of all his committees. If it's good for Washington, it's good for Paul Boyer. I said, pull him out. I said that, and I even emailed him. I said, this is what I'm telling your people to do. Just so you know that we're clear that I am angry with you.
Yeah.
But see, the people got to show up more. Like, we own the government. We own the courts. We own the legislature. We own the executive branch, and we have forgotten. So when we deal with these people, we got to come out and let them know you work for us. And when they start to hear that and get used to it, they start to change. So this is how we have to function as a people. We got to realize, yeah, y'all been friends. Y'all been partying and hanging out. But I'm back to work now. I walk back into office. I see y'all hanging off the chandeliers and playing pool with basketballs and footballs in the building. And we got a glassware everywhere. That's not how we get down. The boss is back. Now it's time to fix everything. I don't care about your friendships. It's time to work, right? And that's how we deal with these issues. Step in, let them know who we are, reestablish the relationship, and hold them to what they swore an oath to, period.
100%. I'm just excited because we're almost at the finish line with this thing. And I know a lot's going to be revealed. And a lot of people are worried. I don't know if either of you can speak on this, but Colonel Waldron was on a show recently with Dr. Laura Packey, who did a lot of forensic stuff in the military. And he kind of made me feel like if they did tamper with the machine and the software and the hardware and all that, that will be revealed somehow. But a lot of people's fears right now is, since all this stuff was in the possession of the County Board of Supervisors and they did an audit, that they probably went in and messed stuff up. And I still feel like we're still going to find that out if that's true, even if they did mess anything up, based on what I heard with Colonel Waldron. He made me feel like that. So it gave me some assurance that we're still going to learn things.
Well, I saw them taking things out the back with like screwdrivers and pulling it out, but really I don't care. And I'm gonna tell you why. I have absolutely zero fear about all this. People are like, isn't it scary? It looks like they're going to take over the nation. Isn't it scary? You know, they're going to hide this. Isn't it scary? What if they turn on us? What if they do? Mm-hmm. Look, I ain't scared of a dang thing. I know that we have God on our side, and right, he's been setting up everything. And when God wants to show wicked men that they are nothing but men, he starts to wreak terror in their life. And they start doing stupid stuff like getting online and screaming, you'll never get the ballots. You see Gallardo, his hands are everywhere, all over the place, right?
And Fontes too.
You see push-up bra.
Yeah.
You know, you see Fontes with his push-up bra talking about some, you're not going to get your grubby hands on these freaking ballots, gangsta.
I was
right?
just going to make a comment and you took it out of my mouth. That's good. He needs to hit the gym. You know what I mean?
I was going to say that, Josh. Go hit him a 1 week free membership trial.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Adrian Fox says, you have a free membership to Metroflex Gym because you need to get that lift. You need to get that lift.
Yeah. That estrogen issue, we got to get that in.
Estrogen lift. Get you all some DIM in here, lower the estrogen level. Get the testosterone level up a little bit and work out.
Yeah.
And, balance his cortisol out.
That's right.
There you go. He might even get some lats.
That's right.
Exactly.
But that's the thing, is that we have to hold these people accountable, mm-hmm. and we are the bosses. And you can tell by their reaction. See, if a 2-year-old came to you and said, lady, give me your car, I'm knocking you out, you'll giggle. Mm-hmm. You'll start laughing and keep walking. Okay. Start laughing. You're a cute kid, right? When somebody comes to your door and they're really a force to be reckoned with, you start quaking. You start trying to, right? You're trying to figure out what to do. See, it should show the people something that when they already know that the judge said they had to give over ballots, when they already know that they were wrong by keeping them, when they already know they were wrong by not giving the ballots to the treasurer, why is it when they realize the legislature is now doing something really close to what they don't want after they already agreed and already heard from the court, now they're having another meeting with somebody who will tell them something wrong again? The bar has been letting them get away with this bull this whole time. Mm-hmm. Now, as soon as they find out, holy crap, we're about to get caught, they call the bar. Mm-hmm. Why are you having a meeting in private with the bar when the bar has been telling you the whole time not to give up the stuff?
Right.
Who are these attorneys and where did they get their law license to be able to not know enough to know that the legislature is over them and slow walk this whole thing and not give up the ballots and go back and forth? Why do they think that's okay? Because the attorneys are telling them either what you're doing is okay or what you're going to get for what you did is worse than if you just do this. There's only two reasons you would do something this dumb. Mm-hmm. If you're working with bad people and you know they're going to kill you if you mm-hmm. if everybody finds out what happened, mm-hmm. you rather go to jail than get killed, right? If you committed treason and you know you're going to go to prison for treason, which has a higher time than if you just ignored the legislature or arson for setting a building on fire, they'll set the building on fire. So they're getting sloppy now. They're calling people Nazis. The news media is trying to help them. If we were a two-year-old that had no effect on what would happen, the news media wouldn't go crazy. The board of supervisors wouldn't go crazy. Oh, y'all just some Nazis, whatever. But you're calling us Nazis not because you're not scared of us. You're calling us Nazis because you're highly intimidated by what's coming and you know you have no power to stop it. That's what's really happening.
See, that's what I wish that the people, God's people, would have been doing all along. We've just been letting, just sitting back in our chairs and our couches and just letting this thing ride. Because, you know, when God's people stand up and move, they have the Lion of Judah that stands behind them. And that Lion of Judah is scary to anyone who was not God's people. That you know, because God will take care of his people. God is the ultimate authority. And so when you come against God's people, they're going to be quaking. And I just wish the people of God would have stood up a lot sooner to do something to make a difference.
There's a lot of people who know about God, who acknowledge God, but not of God. Because the Bible tells you that every word of God is pure, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That means everything God says in the scripture is true. Mm-hmm. But school fights against that. So sometimes people acknowledge God, believe he's real, but don't really believe what he said. Because the Bible says that God will allow his people, one of the honors is to subdue kingdoms.
Correct.
Cut down kings, right? Mm-hmm. The scriptures tell us that I can do all things through Christ mm-hmm. who strengthened me. Mm-hmm. But do you really believe that? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? You can't just take the words that God says and say, well, you know, that's a good word. No, that's the truth. And there's a scripture that explains that no matter how many words you use to correct a servant, though he understand, he will not answer. So you know how I know when the government officials are in the right position? When I talk to them and they say, oh, shut up and get smart. I'm a legislature. I'm this. I'm that. Blah, 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 right? That's when they think they're the boss. But I know when I start hitting you with stuff and you shut the freak up, then you're my servant now. You're in the right position. So me and Josh get together and we make notices with their trust indenture with the constitutional provisions right in there and say, you swore to this already, right? Mm-hmm. And they shut the freak up. Mm-hmm. When they shut up, like the Bible says they would, you know that you got the power back. Mm-hmm. See, we were under control of them. So they'll do stupid stuff and then they'll say, shut up. And we'll go. We were servants in our mentality. Now It's like, we'll say something and they'll say, well, look, I'm a legislative body member. I'm this, I'm that. You need to be quiet or whatever. You can't tell me this. And then I'll turn around and hit them with the law and what they swore an oath to, where they know, uh-oh, if I go against my oath, that's a high crime. That's a felony. Ding, 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 right? And I'll hit them with their own law and say, I dare you to say I'm wrong.
Hey, David, what do you say to a legislator that tells you, oh, I represent the people, and if you don't like it, you can vote me out in 2 years?
Oh, man, I hate that. I hate that.
Say what? Say what?
I said, if you got a legislature that tells you, you know, the legislature that tells you, if you don't like what I'm doing or what's being done, then you can vote them out in 2 years.
Yeah, well, the Constitution says that, I'll give you an example from New Hampshire. New Hampshire tells us that our government officials are to be orderly, lawful, and responsive. When we say accessible and responsive, when we say something to you, you are to respond, right? So they really shouldn't be doing this thing where they hide the truth and they can't give you legal advice. That's just a cop-out so they can hide the scam they're doing. But if you look at the fact that they're to be responsive, you look at most constitutions, it'll say, the people have the right to assemble for their common good and instruct their representatives. Notice it didn't say talk to. It said instruct their representatives. And then many will say by petition, address, or remonstrance, right? Meaning give them notice in a certain type of way, or a strong rebuke. That's what we do with the affidavits in a certain type of way, or we declare our rights in a certain type of way with the notice. So then it says, in those that they have to respond. Now, if they're a servant, they may not respond, but they're going to do what you say. Now, when you look at California, it lets you know we have a right to instruct our representatives and they can't hide public information from us. That's another part we're missing. The legislature a lot of times will think you can vote me out every 2 years, but the laws in the state says that they are our servants and trustees and at all times amenable to us, accountable to us. And if they do wrong and we don't like it, we can remove them or reform the whole government, the whole constitution, however the public might will. So if you're a bad legislature, we can get rid of you. We can force the legislature to impeach you, or we can, if we want to, we're not happy enough, change the whole constitution, remove everybody, start over.
I'm glad you said this, because often I hear people say, well, there's nothing we can do about it because no one's going to fire them until they get termed out. And I'm just like, oh, it's so frustrating. So I'm glad you said that.
And you're the boss. You're the boss. So nobody's going to fire them because nobody's in the main office. Mm-hmm. You took a break, went around. These people are so slick, and the attorneys. You'll say, what do I do? They'll have you begging for a statute when they can't even write law against your rights. They'll have you begging for a statute or saying, I need to make a complaint somewhere. And they'll say, well, make a judicial complaint. Make a complaint to this committee. Make a complaint to this. No, what about I give you notice, tell everybody else that you're doing wrong. They give you notice and then we fire you or we change the whole government and all y'all get up and leave. Because we're tired. The majority of people did not want this clown that's falling up the stairs, right? So the people have a indubitable right, indefeasible right to alter, abolish, or reform government at will. So we better get that in our head and get rid of the other stuff, because in America today, they're like, listen, if you fight against anything the government says, then you must be a Nazi sovereign citizen that is against government and you're evil and they try to shame you. Well, our forefathers put in all the state constitutions that you have a 100% guaranteed right to take back over. Mm-hmm. It's your duty. So why the freak are we having an argument that men are toxic when they stand up to corruption? You can't talk about that. You're not a lawyer. That's another thing we got to do. We got to stop discounting ourselves like, I can't raise my kids because I'm not a psychologist. I can't talk about law because I'm not a lawyer. Well, who the freak made the state constitutions? The people, not just lawyers. You had people who were journalists, worked on farms, you know, the choir boy. They all were together making constitutions as average everyday people. Maybe a couple of people who knew the law, like a judge or something. But the regular people understood the law and basic common law. And now we're allowing people in suits to lie to us to the point that we say, well, lawyers are liars, but everybody need one. What? So you believe in God, but you think you need a liar to save your life?
Mm-mm. Well, the reason also I really feel like God put that Bible study in my hand, and it's a good one. It's from Priscilla Schreier. It's called Gideon. The reason why is at the end of the story, Gideon and his army won. And I feel like God is telling me at the end, you guys are going to win. And I just see God's hand moving. And I tell people, because I said, they're not going to tell you on the news, and they're going to, you know, push down any of us that are trying to bring this out to you, but God is moving within people. And Arizona is a great example of God moving within people to change things for the better, to expose. God put Donald Trump in office for such a time as this, to give us someone that was not a politician, to kind of start opening the people's eyes about the truth of the corruption, and that we would want to move, because he's not draining the swamp. Like we all thought, oh, he's going to drain the swamp. No, you know what? Honestly, it's us draining the swamp. We're starting with the swamp waters in our own state. Now, real quick, before we wrap up, how would you, David and Josh, encourage people that might not live in Arizona to change things that they are unhappy with in their state?
You want to go first, Josh?
They can literally do the same thing we're doing here. If you have any direct questions, you know, you can reach out to us, you know, on social media. But what's been done here, like We the People AZ Alliance, we have a new chapter we're opening in Las Vegas on April 10th. Mm-hmm. So We the People Nevada Alliance is opening there. We have Oregon reached out to us, Missouri reached out to us, Florida's reached out to us. So it's actually become a super PAC nationwide. And they just moved into super PAC status last week. So Shelby got that. Yeah, she got that moved in last week. We have a big event on April 10th in Vegas at the Ahern Hotel. We have Mike Lindell speaking. We have
Yvonne Pulitzer.
We have Yvonne. We have Patrick Byrne, George Papadopoulos. I'm forgetting Anna Kate.
There's a lot of bunch.
Yeah. And then the following weekend will be in Tulsa at the Health Freedom Conference, I think it's called. And that has Lynn Woods, Sidney Powell, Mike Lindell again, General Flynn, Patrick Byrne, Simone Gold, some of the frontline doctors, tons of people. And it's a 2-day conference there. John Stubbins, I just did his show earlier today. I got at the caught it at the very end of it because Mike Lindell on, and Mike was talking, you know, like he had a, you know, they got into a deep discussion, but so it kind of took up some time, which is fine because I'd rather hear Mike talk.
Mm-hmm. And I love how he talks.
Yeah, no, Mike's great. You know, he's a true patriot, and the stuff he's doing, you know, and he's personally behind the We the People AZ Alliance as well.
Mm-hmm.
With the recall effort. And so we, yeah, we're working with him directly now and putting a dent in Arizona here. But anyway, so, you know, my point is, you know, the stuff that we're doing here at the recall effort, the notices, the Declaration of Rights, the affidavits, that's what every state can do to their legislator to hold them accountable. And if they need help, like I said, reach out on social media, but also you can contact We the People AZ Alliance and they can get in touch. As far as a recall standpoint, from that side, because like David said, we always talk, we have to hit it from every angle. So the stuff David does, the affidavits and the notices and the Declaration of Rights and stuff, is different than what We the People AZ Alliance is doing from a recall standpoint. So it's kind of hitting them from all sides to get the result we want, which is a forensic audit. So, and it looks like that we're going to get that, you know, they're still trying to fight it, but it looks like we're going to get what the people want. And deserve. So that's what has to happen across the country. And like I said, from a PMA standpoint, to me, that's equally important, because this kind of nonsense is going to continue with the Democrats, especially these Democrat-run states, as well, you know, especially those.
Mm-hmm.
Where the people can protect their businesses from future government interference. And they need to get a hold of us and move their business into the private. There's tax advantages and benefits as well by being in the private. And David, you know, he can talk with them about that as well in more detail, depending on what business they own. And but that's basically, I guess, in a nutshell, what they can do.
Okay, cool. So that's great. So guys, again, if you want to ask David and Josh about how to make your business go into private, contact them on their social media. I can put some links in the description. And then, you know, if you need to know more about affidavits, your man, David, in the social media platform, contact him. I'm so glad I got to meet both of you guys. Thank you for coming on my show. I really appreciate it. And then I appreciate for what each one of you are doing to make our state great again.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having us.
It's a blessing.
Take care, guys.